while I turn this on. Happy Sabbath. Well, it's an honor to be here, and it's a privilege to be speaking. You can tell it's been a while by how fast your heart is beating. Before we begin, I'd just like to have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for coming into this house. Lord, I thank you for your Sabbath that we have a chance to come here and worship you. Lord, I ask that you be with me as I try and present a message. Lord, I know that throughout this week you've been preaching this to me, and Lord, I pray that those here will also gain a blessing. Lord, please anoint my lips. Please use me. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a normal day, just like most Sabbaths. The sun was up, the air was nice and warm. Even though everything seemed normal, this day would turn out to be something that I would never forget. There was a decision to be made, and everything around this day revolved around this decision. To give a little background on the situation, my mom had just recently left, and my dad was left alone to take care of three kids. When something big like that happens in your life, things start to matter more. The trivial things in life seem to fade away, and you start to find out who you really are. So we wake up Saturday morning, and we get dressed, we get cleaned up, put on our Sabbath best, eat breakfast, and we start to head out the door. And as we're heading out, I can tell that something is just a little different. And my dad stops me, and he asks me, "Do you want to go to church today?" And it seems like a simple question, one that doesn't require a lot of thought, but I realize that this has more implications than surface value. We aren't sleepy, we aren't getting out of bed, we don't have anything else really to do, so what is he really asking? The question wasn't really if we wanted to go to church that day, but if we wanted to give up on God. We decided from that day on, no matter what happened, no matter how filthy we were, no matter how many mistakes that we made, we were going to give God our lives. We've all faced decisions in our life. Some easy, some not so easy. Some changed our lives dramatically, and some not so much. For some of those choices, we've enjoyed the decision, while others, we have regrets. Needless to say, we all have decisions to make. We all have choices that impact our lives, and yet sometimes we make decisions, they're so simple, they're so little, that we don't even think about why we're making them. But what I want to ask you today is, why is it that you make the decisions that you do? Is it based on your sense of right and wrong, your morals, and how you were raised? Is it based on the Bible? Or is it based on what's going to benefit you or your loved ones the most right now or maybe in the future? I'm sure we've all made decisions for all of those factors. Some of those decisions will take us down good ones, and some of them will take us down bad roads. But we have a choice that supersedes all other decisions. Something that only we can make, bigger than what job we're going to pick or our spouse or the major that we're going to decide. Something that will not only shape our lives here and now, but shape our lives for eternity. If you could turn with me to our scripture reading today, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. Now the first 12 verses, Joshua has gathered the people together, and this is going to be kind of his last message to them. He knows his time is coming to an end, and he wants to get a message to the people. They've been wandering, they've entered the land of Canaan, and he knows his time is short, so he gathers the people together to try and knock some sense into them almost. We're going to start with verse 13. It says, "I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, verse 15, it's a text that we should all be familiar with, right? It's so cliche, it's almost as if there's nothing really to learn from. Maybe. It's the kind of verse that I see hung up beside my staircase at my house every day. And yet, is it safe to say that some of us have not experienced what it means to really choose to serve God? To really choose to serve Him with everything that we are. To serve Him with what we eat, with what we say, with what we do. Let's continue in verse 16. So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God." So Joshua chooses God. Joshua says for him and his house, he's going to follow God. He gives them a question, "What are you going to do?" And the people respond, "Yeah, we're going to serve God too." What do you think Joshua's response should be? Should he be excited? Let's continue in verse 19. It says, "But Joshua said to the people, 'You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then He will turn and do you harm and consume you after He has done you good.' And the people said to Joshua, 'No, but we will serve the Lord.' So Joshua said to the people, 'You are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve Him.' And they said, 'We are witnesses.'" Witnesses against yourself. Why is Joshua not elated that the Israelites have chosen to serve God? Joshua tells them that him and his house are going to serve God, and the Israelites repeat back and say they're going to too, and he tells them, "No, you can't." Then they just repeat it with more vigor. "No, we will serve the Lord." Now they have become witnesses to themselves. You know, it's one thing to be living for yourself and admit to it. And it's a whole other thing to be a professed Christian and to be living a life just like the rest of secular society. Not only are you condemning yourself, but by bearing the name of Jesus, you give God a bad image as well. And that's what I believe Joshua is trying to tell the people. If they want to bear the name of God, they need to live it. If we look at the life of the Israelites, though, did they ever backslide? Did they ever mess up and fall down? Yes, of course, many times. What do you think that they thought when that happened? What do you think went through their mind? Do you think they were serious about their commitment? Were they truly sorry and sincere about coming back to God? I'd like to venture a guess and say that they were serious. But when you choose to serve God, it's not a one-time choice. It's a commitment to consecrate your life to Him each and every single day. According to Webster, to consecrate yourself is to be dedicated to a sacred purpose. To be dedicated to a sacred purpose. As we look at our lives, can we say that our life has been one that has been dedicated to a sacred purpose? I want to say that again. As we look at our life, can we say with absolute boldness, our lives have been one that has been dedicated to a sacred purpose? Not the purpose of gaining money or even the purpose of you and your family, but of God's purpose. If you're like me and have wanted to, you have wanted that but have failed time and again, please listen to this quote from Steps to Christ, chapter 5, page 47. It says this, many are inquiring, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? You desire to give yourself to him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, and your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. Does that sound familiar? How many times have you thought to yourself, I'm not going to think those things anymore. I'm not going to do those things anymore. And then you do them. And you think, Lord, no, I'm choosing. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to think those things. And then you fail. How many times have we done this? How many times? But there's hope. Let me continue. But you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men, it is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections, but you can choose to serve him. You can give him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to his good pleasure. Thus, your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with him. What will be your choice? Do we want to stay on the fence and fall down time and again only to feel guilty about it? Or do we want to dedicate our life wholly to him? If you could turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 17. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. We're going to go over a story of David. 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And when we look back on the life of David, what do we think of? This is a man that from a very young age, God has chosen him for a special purpose. Ever since he was little, he's been working with God to show the people God's purpose. And grant he has made mistakes, he has a big sin in his life, but he's repented. And when we look back, the Bible says he is a man after God's own heart. So if there's one person in this time that would have the purpose that would be in line with what God wants, wouldn't it be David? Wouldn't that be David who would have these desires and God's purpose would be in line with what he wanted? Let's read 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 through 6. It says, now it came to pass when David was dwelling in the house that David said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord is under tent curtains. Then Nathan said to David, do all that is in your heart, for God is with you. But it happened that night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought up Israel, even to this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about with all Israel, have I ever spoken a word to any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? David has this purpose in his heart. David has this plan set in motion, and he gets told that he can go along with it. And then he gets told no. David could have taken the news in many different ways. He could have ignored the prophet. He could have gotten angry and upset. He could have even decided, you know, maybe I'll just start it, and this will benefit my son later on. Think about it. This was David's legacy, and even more so, this is going to uplift God, right? How could God not be okay with it? Yet he knew this would make himself look good and be what he would be remembered for. So what is he going to do? When the rubber meets the road and his plan is different from God's plan, what is he going to do? Is he going to be like Joshua and say, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord? What's he going to choose? And what do we choose when our plans or our ambitions, our goals that we've been striving for all our life, don't meet up with what God wants for us? Do we take the comfortable path, or do we choose to serve God? Patriarchs and Prophets says that David received it with gratitude. With gratitude. Even though David's cherished purpose in his heart had been denied, he received it with gratitude. But even more important, I believe, than how he received the news is the next part. More important than if he was thankful for God or upset at God is that after he heard the word of God, he then renewed his covenant with God. He reconsecrated his life to God. For David, no matter what God's answer was, he was going to follow him. Win or lose, that's what we need. Every day, every battle, we need to rededicate our life to God. It's so important to remember that every day we make a choice, and sometimes our biggest falls come after our biggest victories. When God's plan does not coincide with your plan, how do we react? I want to read this quote from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 713, that's talking about David here. It says, instead of gratefully submitting to the divine direction, many fall back as if slighted and rejected, feeling that if they cannot do the one thing which they desire to do, they will do nothing. Many cling with desperate energy to responsibilities which they are incapable of bearing and vainly endeavor to accomplish a work for which they are insufficient, while that which they might do lies neglected. The choices we make have profound impacts on our life and those we love. And I'd like to begin to close with this. My father and mother, they went to Florida last week to visit my brother. And my brother has just had a son about a couple months ago, and they went to see him get dedicated to his church. So they're there to meet their grandson. Yes, my dad is a grandpa now. So he goes to meet his grandson. He goes to meet up with my brother. And while he was there, he also met another gentleman. And he was telling me about this man, and he was saying that he was a decent man, he was a nice man, someone that many of us would get along with today. This man's name was Richard Little, and about 24 years ago, Mr. Little made a decision that would impact his life. 24 years ago, Mr. Little decided to give up his son, and that son was then adopted by my father, whose name became Daniel Gaskin. And now my brother has a son, and his name is Ethan Gaskin. Mr. Little had no other sons. He's no one to carry on his name. His name stops with him, and he made a choice that he has to live with. Sometimes I think we make choices and we think we're not going to have to live with the consequences. Now I know what you're thinking, and be careful about judging him for his decision. Let's think about the decisions that we make every day, little and big choices that may or may not make a profound impact on our lives. As we read in Joshua, as professed Christians, we judge ourselves when we choose not to serve God. Remember, he said we are witnesses to ourselves. We don't need to worry ourselves about judging others, but rather worry about the choices we're making. Have we made the decision to let God make our choices today? Every day is made up of choices, hundreds, maybe even thousands. But if your choice is to serve the Lord, the very first decision you need to make every morning is the choice to get on your knees and consecrate your life to him that day. As I said earlier, to consecrate yourself is to dedicate yourself to a sacred purpose. Dedicate yourself. To live a purposeful life that we make a conscious decision on what we're doing. making a choice, not going with the flow of what he said or she said, not going with popular belief or culture, but making the decision to let God make our choices. As we stand and sing our closing hymn, my hope and prayer for this church is that we as a church choose to consecrate our life to God and let him start shaping our life to be more like his. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you take our lives and you let them be, Lord, consecrated to you. Lord, please, as we go about our days this Sabbath and as we go on for the rest of our lives, Lord, please help us to give you our choice, to give you that choice that you will work in us to shape us and mold us to be more like you so that we can be deserving and we can be ready for your coming. Lord, thank you for your Sabbath day. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless us as we go from here. And may we bless others as you've blessed us. In Jesus' name, amen.